Remember last week I reminded you about where we're going as a church, just in case you'd forgotten it from January. I said, don't forget, we're all about Jesus first and truth always, and we're going to be pressing into discipleship. And this last week and this week and in the coming weeks, I want to press into the kingdom of God and what that looks like for discipleship. And so this last week I spoke about every kingdom has a king. Of course, that king is Almighty God, and we worship Almighty God. We worship the king. This morning, the question I want to ask is, how does somebody become a part of the kingdom? Or another question, can a person really change? And you might know that English saying, a leopard can never change its spots. And we use this when people continually make the same mistakes. He'll never change. She's always been like that. People don't change. What you don't realize, or what many people don't realize, is that particular phrase, that idiom, comes out of the Bible. God is speaking to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 13, verse 23, and he says, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard's its spots? God is asking a rhetorical question. We know what the answer is. No, a leopard cannot change its spots. Neither can sinful people simply change themselves. And that sounds pretty dismal, I know. But it is dismal until we meet Jesus Christ. Because what we cannot change on our own, he can change in us. The scripture this morning is about that very change. And it's Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. John 3, verse 1 to 8. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Christianity is built on the truth that what we cannot fix in our own lives, Jesus Christ can fix. So it's important to remember, we cannot change ourselves. The world would like us to believe that we can. The world tells us, believe in yourself. Try harder, be a better version of yourself. But the Bible gives a different diagnosis. Our biggest problem is not our behavior. Our biggest problem is, in actual fact, our heart. We don't sin simply because we occasionally make bad choices. We sin because we have a sinful nature. Matthew 7, verse 17 says, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. When you look at a tree, we can tell what the tree is all about by the fruit. No amount of trying harder can change the tree. No amount of religion can change the tree. No amount of good works can change the tree. The problem is way, way deeper. Paul says in Romans 7, I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Left to our own devices, we cannot fix this problem. That is why Jesus says to Nicodemus, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So we cannot change ourselves. We have to get to that place of acknowledging that we can't. Sometimes we would like to think we can, or we think we can, but in honesty, we can't. And then it's important to remember that Jesus doesn't just improve us, but he makes us new. He doesn't just give us a quick once over 100,000 kilometer service and then off you go. He takes us and he makes us brand new. Nicodemus was somebody that was admired by the other people. Think about who he was in society. He was an admired religious leader. He knew the laws. He knew how to live a right life. He was respected. He was educated. And if you think about it, if anybody deserved the kingdom of God, it would be him. But Jesus says to him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Jesus is not saying you need more religion. He didn't say, come on, try a little bit harder. And he didn't either say you need to be a better Pharisee, if that's even a possibility, a better, worse Pharisee. But he does say you need to be born again. Why? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 1, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Dead things don't improve. Dead things need life. Christianity is not about self-improvement. It's about new life. It's about being born again. Ezekiel knew this hundreds of years before Jesus came when he said, where God said through him, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." That is the miracle of salvation. You see, the problem has to do with our heart, and God changes us and gives us a new heart. We have new desires, we have new ideas, we have new beginnings. Everything is made new. Paul actually puts it like this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here." Notice he's not saying you're the new, improved version of the old you. He's saying you're a new creation. We have to sometimes stop and think about that, because sometimes we think we're just a little bit better than we were before. I know when I became a Christian, I knew for sure that there was something brand new that had taken place in my life. But sometimes over time, we get a little bit kind of complacent in that. But we have to say, no, that change that took place, that moment, we became brand new. Some things changed in my life that I couldn't physically describe. Things were different that I had no control over. We cannot change ourselves, and when we allow Jesus to change us, he makes us brand new. And with this brand new, we get a brand new identity. Peter describes this beautifully. Listen to what he says. He doesn't begin with what Christians do. Rather, he begins with who Christians are. "But you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." Do you see the language? You are chosen. You are royal. You are holy. You are God's special possession. I think we need to stop for a moment and just do something un-Presbyterian. Oh, it's going to go crazy, Brian. We've already prayed for people in the service, so that's number one crazy moment. So here's number two. Just tell the person next to you, you are chosen. Like you mean it, okay? Not just like Harry Casual. You are royal. Did you say that? You are royal. You are holy. You are God's special possession. Say that. You are God's special possession. You guys are not even close enough. Who are you talking to? Okay. Got it. Oh, you're not well. Oh, I'm so sorry. Did we pray for you when we... Oh, okay. Did somebody speak to you, Elsie? Oh, you spoke to you? Yes, your wife would have if she didn't. But Elsie, yes, you guys, okay. I'm just checking the singles here that day. Did somebody speak to you? I did. So we are these brand new, incredible creatures when Christ meets us. Then we read in Peter a little bit further on, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Everything has changed. Not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, But because God has chosen us. Before God calls us to live differently, he tells us who we are. Identity comes before activity. Belonging comes before behavior. Grace comes before growth. This is how God works. The world says, prove yourself. God says, you belong. The world says, earn your identity. God says, I have given you your identity. The world says, become someone. God says, in Christ, you are already someone. You are his child, his chosen one, his treasured possession. And then we have to know that new identity produces new living. Now everything starts to look a little bit different when we are new creations. We live in a different way. Some of the things I had to work at when I became a Christian, and other things just changed overnight. Luke 9, verse 23 says this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. John 8, 31, Jesus is saying, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. And John 13, 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Just notice in these verses, they're not telling us how to become disciples. They're describing how disciples live. There's a big difference. Our new identity should cause us to live in a certain way. We do not take up our cross in order to earn God's love, but because of God's love, we take up our cross. We do not obey Jesus so that he will accept us more. We obey him because he has already accepted us. We do not love others so that we become his disciples. We love others because we are his disciples. Everything flows from identity. A disciple is someone that is increasingly reflecting who Jesus Christ is. Not perfectly, but progressively. We grow. Continually growing more and more like Christ should be the aim of every disciple. Every day we should ask this one simple question, am I becoming more like Christ today than I was yesterday? We have to be growing in him. So maybe you're this morning and you still are living like a spiritual orphan. You believe in Jesus, you come to church, but deep down you still think, I'm not good enough. God probably just tolerates me. I'll never change. But listen to Peter again. You are chosen. You are God's special possession. You have received mercy. You do belong. And because you belong, you can begin to live differently. Not in your own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Right at the beginning, I spoke about that poor leopard. The world says a leopard can never change its spots, and we know, in a sense, that is true because that is in the Bible. Left to ourselves, we cannot change our own sinful nature. But the gospel says something even greater. God can do what we cannot do. He gives the leopard a new heart. He gives dead people new life. He gives sinners a new identity. He gives rebels a new king. And he gives those who trust in Christ a place in his kingdom. So think about this thought. You cannot live as a citizen of God's kingdom until you have been born into God's kingdom. But if you have been born again, stop living life like an orphan. Live like a son and a daughter of the King. Amen.